Hey everyone, this is the weekend after Christmas, and wow, what a different holiday this has been. You know, those of us that have missed seeing family and friends and having plans to travel, many of us didn't. I know many have in our country, and I'm just hoping that all of us will be extremely careful so that until there's a real wind down on this virus, that we don't make things worse. But, you know, people around us are really hungry for something to hope in. You know, there are people that are hoping for a vaccine and that the vaccine will roll out quickly, that we'll have many people that can will be inoculated as soon as possible. There are people that have put their hopes in Congress coming through with a stimulus package that will both help individuals but also businesses as we try to work through the ravages of this pandemic and try to keep people afloat. You know, people that are just hopeful for some semblance of normal in 2021. It'll be a new normal for sure, but, you know, we're just a hopeful people. This is the way God created us. And we've looked in this series, we've looked at a variety of things that hope well-placed can do for us. So if you've missed any of the messages, please use our app or go to our website and check out. You can go to all, you get all of them on demand, both for you, and you might find something you'd like to share with someone that would be helpful for them. Here's the thing to keep in mind. We were all created by God to live with hope. But when our hope is misplaced, it leads us to ultimate and inevitable disappointment. I was reading recently about a guy named Tony Shaw. I had heard a little bit about him, but not really much until recently. He was a brilliant and gifted entrepreneur. He was a venture capitalist. He was an idea guy. He was a Harvard grad, brilliant. He had early success with some internet businesses and made a fortune quickly. And then he was hired on to Zappos, which was a shoe and apparel company online. And as the CEO, he really had an impact with that company. In the first year he was there, the company did $1.6 million worth of business. 9 years later, they eclipsed $1 billion. They had not only success that way, but you know, it was a place to work that Forbes regularly listed as one of the top workplaces. They just tried to build a culture of where both the people that worked there and customers, everyone was happy and whatever could be done to make them that way. He even wrote a book called Delivering Happiness. This was after Amazon bought the company and he had a little more free time. While he was wealthy and successful, he really had some other things he wanted to do. He was hungry to build kind of connections and community. People that knew him said that he really did struggle with loneliness. And so there was this drive in him to build this kind of connection. You could see it in the workplaces that he had, and then also trying to connect with customers. He took some of his amazing fortune and he bought large properties in Las Vegas and later Park City, Utah, to help develop these kind of communities where everything could be egalitarian. People had everything they needed and they would flourish. And it would be kind of a utopia of freedom and connection with others. It didn't happen as he had hoped. There were certain things that just weren't working. And so he just kept, as he always had, he kept going back to his vast reservoirs of entrepreneurial spirit and thinking, creative ideas. And he was working really hard to see if he could come up with a way to really build the kind of community that in his mind he just hoped for. And then COVID-19 hit. And it shut down so much of what he was planning to do and wanting to do. And he ended up reverting back to some old habits. Drugs, alcohol were a big part of that. But then also some bizarre experiments in deprivation, whether it's food or oxygen or other things. And what his friends have said is he was just trying to hack a computer term. He was trying to hack happiness. How could he get past his loneliness and the struggle he had of connecting and come up with some way using all of his vast resources to break loneliness and to create community and what he had always hoped for? A few weeks ago, he died in a Spartan rundown shed in Connecticut where he had been doing some of these deprivation experiments, and there was a fire. It was ruled accidental and probably was, but he was a man with huge potential, but a lot of disappointment. And it led to extreme measures that just didn't work. He never did hack happiness. You know, disappointment is something that we all are familiar with if we're honest. It can be from mild to major. It could be as simple as a package didn't arrive on time for Christmas, and so you're disappointed, or a gift you wanted to get someone was sold out. It could be that the stalemate on the government stimulus has really put you in a bind. You were planning on that $600. You're planning on help for your company. Maybe you've had investments that have not done like you had hoped they would. Could be that a bigger ticket item where you've got a friend that's been disloyal or has lied to you, and the hurt of that and the betrayal of that has gone deep. It could be you've gone in for a routine medical test and came back with some really bad news. If we're honest, we all struggle with disappointment. If we're honest, we'll also recognize too that all of us at times are a disappointment to others and to ourselves. We make promises that we don't keep. We fail to step up where it's needed, and we let ourselves down and the people around us. Along the way, we might give in to old and bad habits that we thought we had licked, but maybe during the pandemic, we've just kind of gone back that way. Disappointment is just part of the life we have here on planet Earth. It's something we're going to experience, and we need to understand why this happens and how it all works. And at the end of the day, one of the things about disappointment is that in a broken world, you and I need hope we can count on. God never intended us to have lives where we're just kind of guessing along the way. We're kind of just bouncing around hoping we'll find something that works. But we do live in a broken world. That's unquestionable, and all these disappointments are proof positive of that. But we need hope we can count on. And the key here is that we can count on. Hope is no better than the object it's placed in. You know, you can have a lot of hope in something that doesn't deliver, or you could have a little hope in something that is substantial and good. For hope, the object is the most important thing, and that's what I want us to focus on today. You have this Psalm 118 that says, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in people. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes." The idea is that people like you and me are fallible. We're gonna blow it. And even the greatest entrepreneurs like Tony Shaw or others, we can put our trust in them, and sometimes they'll deliver, but not always. The great news about our faith in Jesus Christ, it's the great news that we discover at Christmas, is that God wants to, he's eager to, and he invites us to put our trust and our hope in him. And he put a plan in place so that you and I could discover love and community, forgiveness, security, purpose, and hope that will never disappoint us. Not by our own ingenuity or by our own effort, but by coming to him, trusting him. I don't know about Tony Shaw's faith. I don't know what kind of background he had. But I do know that This is something that Jesus would say to him, just like he does to you and me. Listen to this in Matthew 11. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." I mean, this is a remarkable passage. We've been through this before, and I want to pick a couple of things out on it. One of the things is Jesus says, "I will give you rest for your souls." He doesn't say, I'll give you a formula that may or may not work. He doesn't say, you know, come give it a shot and we'll see if it works. He says, "I know who you are and I know what you need. And if you will come to me and ask, I will give you rest for your soul." Tony Shaw did not have a rested soul. Many of us don't. We're disappointed. We're trying to figure out how to make life work. We constantly are trying things. And for a while, it may seem like they do, and then they don't. And then we go somewhere else or give up. Peace, freedom, hope, and meaning. Jesus doesn't promise heaven on earth, but he promises to give us what we desperately need. Something much better than just a fun, happy life here on earth. He wants us to be completely fulfilled and to experience the potential we have in knowing him. And I want to look at something here that is, I think, sometimes overlooked. Jesus said, because I am humble and gentle at heart. I want to look at that for a minute because it's something about Jesus that we shouldn't miss. You know, Jesus was not a larger-than-life megastar. He wasn't some big name. He wasn't a big benefactor with deep pockets. He wasn't a flashy celebrity or some kind of a brainiac with a new plan. He had a way about him that was approachable by anyone. And he had ideas that were not new, but ones that he reinforced with his life. Jesus was fully God. The Bible tells us that. And we can't deny that, but he was also fully human. And he gave up his rights of God, his power that he had as God, to become one of us. When we hear the term Emmanuel, it just means God with us. But it's bigger than that. He became one of us. He was fully human. And in this humility, he came to live with us and live like us and to make this connection that we desperately needed. You know, Jesus had a relatively short life. He died when he was in his early to mid-30s, never married. He was working class, a blue-collar or no-collar worker. He was a hard worker when he was a carpenter, and then he moved into public ministry for a short amount of time. Didn't have a home, didn't own property. He was misunderstood regularly, and there were those that tried to use him for their own advantage. There are people that were hoping to get something from him, and when they didn't get what they wanted, they would reject him. He was misunderstood even by his own family. There was a time when he was teaching and his family came to get him because they just thought he was a little out of his head. At his darkest moment, when his adversaries were after him, he was deserted by his best friend and betrayed by one of his best friends. He went through horrible suffering that was completely undeserved and unjust. No matter what you're going through, Jesus gets it. And this, "I am gentle and humble of heart," what he's saying is, and as you examine his life, you begin to see he really does understand what I'm going through. And he offers to help me in the midst of it. Even in Jesus' miraculous conception and birth, we see how he and his family had to deal with disappointment in this life. Jesus was born in Bethlehem when Mary and Joseph went there because of a census. Not long after that, they moved into a home in Bethlehem. And then not long after that, the wise men came to see him. And when they came, they had checked in Jerusalem, and they had checked in with the king, not realizing that King Herod would be so bitterly jealous about some potential new king that when he found out this baby had been born, he dispatched his troops to the Bethlehem area. And every male child, 2 years old and younger, were murdered by these troops. Herod wanted to get rid of this baby king coming. As a result of that, Mary and Joseph had been warned, and they got away, and they were able to escape as refugees in Egypt, and they stayed there until Herod was gone. Jesus gets and understands and has experienced what you and I struggle with. He understands disappointment. And he came, and please understand this, he came so you and I can experience hope and peace and confidence and joy in this broken world. It's a gift. In fact, this gift that he offers is what has inspired, if you look back historically, it's what has inspired you and I giving gifts at Christmas. But this is the greatest gift that was ever offered. I've thought about it so much recently, how easy it is to take for granted what God has offered you and me. We tend to think a little more highly of ourselves than we should. And the Bible is so clear, and it just says that every one of us has sinned. Every one of us have violated what God created us to do and to be. And when we're willing to admit that and come to God and ask for his forgiveness, he will do it. When I just say, God, I've blown it, I've broken it. It's easy for me, let me just do a quick aside. It's easy to focus on what other people do wrong. That's kind of our national pastime, is to point out faults and failures in others. But you and I will never be close to God, we'll never experience the life he has for us until we admit, God, I am the problem. I have not been honest. I've not been true. I've not been faithful. God, I have hurt others. I've dishonored you. God, I need your forgiveness. I need what Jesus came to die for. And so the Bible just says clearly, if you and I will just admit that we are sinful and broken, ask God for forgiveness based on what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, and then accept him as our Savior and our leader, to be under his management in our lives, that we will have our sin forgiven and we can have a brand new life. And it's a life that's not limited to whatever's going on in this world. It's a life that begins now and goes on forever. It's a brand new relationship with a God that loves us, a God that created us, and a God that came to rescue us. And when we understand that, then this passage I want to read to you in Romans that we've used in this series will make sense. It says this, "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us." We don't have peace with God because we've made big promises or somehow we're doing better or we're better than someone else. We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, our leader, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. So it's saying that right now, the moment I become a follower of Jesus, I have this place of undeserved privilege. It is a gift. It's been freely given. And now I have all the privileges of being one of God's children. And I live in that now. And there'll be a time. There'll be a time when history wraps up and we'll be sharing in all of God's glory, completely unhindered, unimpeded. Heaven will be a place where we'll be active and busy, but we just won't be limited by sinfulness and brokenness that we have here. It goes on to say, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. This side of heaven, we are going to have problems and trials. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Because what happens is when we go through trials and difficulties and problems, and we trust God, and we see him either change the circumstances or change us to meet him, it helps our faith to grow. We know we're not in it alone, and we know that he will give us the capacity to handle anything that comes our way with honor and integrity. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. Let me say that again. And this hope that we have, that God has given us because we now have, we trust Him. This hope in Him will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. Sure, we'll have disappointment in life. There'll be things that we were hoping for that didn't happen. But ultimately, those of us that have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we have placed our hope in Him. And in Him, we will never be disappointed. He never makes a promise He doesn't keep. He will be with us every step of the way. He'll forgive us when we blow it. He'll give us strength and capacity to handle whatever we need to. He is faithful. And right now, wherever you are, whatever you're going through, please, please know this. The world is still broken, yes, but the hope God offers never will be. God is utterly trustworthy. And that doesn't mean that the things I hope for are all going to happen, but the one I hope in will never abandon me or reject me. Hebrews 6:19 says this, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." And again, this hope is based on the promises that our God, the one that we put our hope in, has made to us. I don't know what you're going through. I have friends right now that are going through some deep, deep difficulties. Their health difficulties, their relational ones, there's financial ones, and some of them are in really dire straits. And I know that God gets it. And I know that God will be the one that will give them strength and courage and help, care for their loved ones, care for those around them. This side of heaven, we're not guaranteed a certain length of time or a certain lifestyle or that kind of thing. This is a broken world. We're part of it, and we bear the brunt of it. But God came to this broken world so you and I could know what real peace and joy and confidence and hope look like. We hold this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And this hope is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I've asked my wife, Becky, if she would pray for us as we close out the message today in this series. She is someone that I have just the greatest respect for, and I'm so glad we get to do this together, both life together, ministry together, and tag team today on this message. Here you go, sweetheart.
Merry Christmas, New Hope. Rusty and I want to thank you for hanging in with New Hope this crazy year, and hope that you will, as I have this Christmas, found my hope in Christ. I set up this little scene to kind of show you that the theme that we have done over this Christmas season of hope in Christ has become my own personal theme. And I think God has helped me find some ways to sort of personify that in our home and in some relationships where I've seen that other people, you know, have needed that as much as I have. We have this little thing going on, which I just like to invite you into our home as well as our hearts here this morning. I wanted to be praying for us in just a second, but I really love the verse that Rusty used that I want to, just as our theme in praying this morning, that I wanted to read to you one more time. And so this is from Romans 5:1-5. "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Such a just great reminder. So will you pray with me, please? God, we just have to confess to you that mostly we want ease over endurance and personal comfort over our character development. And God, we know that you have much more going on in our lives than just ease and comfort. And I ask that you would help us take on your perspective for our lives in that our hope would be so rooted in you and in your love that momentary disappointments would just pale in comparison. Help us to put our roots deeply down into that. And God, may we show a watching world, will you just separate us from the masses in how we live our lives in this? A lot of people, most people are dealing with disappointment this Christmas. And likely we will be too, but we have a much bigger picture because we know what you are doing in our lives. So may we cling to that and cling to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys.